tonight. Let's look in 2 Samuel and chapter number 6 is where we'll take a text from. 2 Samuel chapter number 6. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I'm glad I'm saved, and I'm glad I'm sitting at the Master's table tonight. And let's ask Him to feed us. And I promise you, if you'll ask Him when we pray in just a second to feed you, the good Holy Ghost to come by your pew, and He'll put something down in your soul that'll last forever. And I bless His name that He'll do that. He is the bread of life. Amen. All righty, let's pray. Father, we come to You tonight thanking You so much, Lord, for the opportunity of being here tonight. There's a lot, Lord, that are sick that would love to be here. There's a lot, Lord God, that doesn't really care to be here. Lord God, I'm glad that it's in my heart to be here. And these that's here, Lord, bless them. Lord God, we ask You as we open this book, Lord, that You'd speak through us. Help us. Lord, empty me, God, and then fill me with Your love. And I pray, God, tonight that You'd speak to us, give us clarity in the book. And we love You and we ask Your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All righty. 2 Samuel chapter number 6 and verse number 1. I want to read this. It says, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. If you left off right there, you'd probably think, well, they fixing to have a war. They fixing to go to battle or something. No. It says, David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God. That's a lot of folks to bring up one box, isn't it? 30,000 plus people, chosen people. He says here, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab. It was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord. Notice here that this ark is named here. It's the Lord. It represents. Anytime you see the Ark of the Covenant, as we read the book of Hebrews, we have this Old Testament tabernacle and every article of furniture that's in it, and even the tabernacle itself, the curtains and every thread that goes into it, all the ropes, all the sockets, all of every board and everything is a symbol of the is just a type of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we see here it is called the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah there, on all manner of instruments, verse 5, made of fir wood, even on harps, and psalteries, timbrels, cornets, and cymbals. When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? How in the world am I going to get this ark home to me? How am I going to get it? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. The Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. I'm going to tell you, that's 3 months that David didn't hardly sleep. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Notice he went two times here. Same amount of men. Verse 13, "And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings." What in the world is the big deal here? "And David danced before the Lord with all his might." Isn't the Bible specific about this? It's not just randomly going over this story here, but it's given the specifics of what he done and how intense he done it. He said in David, it could have said David danced on the street when it come by, but it says he danced with all of his might. Ain't that a blessing? What's the big deal, David? The Bible says this: David was girded with a linen ephod. That is the ephod that the high priest, as that high priest would have his royal garments on, his heavenly garments. He would have the headdress. He would have the breastplate. He would be with a skirt with the pomegranates and bells around the bottom of it. He was a finely dressed man. But when he would go into the Holy of Holies, when he would serve, he would put on the linen garments. David was saying, "I'm here as a servant. Even though I'm the king of all of Israel and all of Judah, I am a servant in front of God." Now let's go on. It says this. Verse 15, "So David and all the house of Israel," all the house of Israel, "brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting." Now picture all this now. 30,000 men. This is, you know, a basketball arena. A college basketball arena. A professional basketball. That's 30 to 40,000 people there. And imagine those people coming with this one little box down the road there, shouting and dancing and playing all kinds of music and putting on the biggest scene that you ever see. And I have to ask, what's the big deal with this? What's all the fuss about, David? And he said this to David, "And all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord," verse 16, "came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." Keep in mind, this world's not going to like what goes on down at the house of God. And here it is. "And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place." As I look at this, I want us to keep that thought in mind. I guess you can use that as a title, is what's the big deal? You know, here is a box. And I could tell you all about it. I could tell you about what it's made of. But we look at this little box here. What's the big deal about this box? Well, let's take a look here. I want you to understand this. The last time that Israel had this little box here was way back over in 1 Samuel chapter number 3. You remember big old Eli, big fat Eli there that fell off his rocker there and broke his neck. Samuel was there. That's when it was. The ark left in. The Philistines come in. They come in and got the ark. They stole the ark. And it has not been in Israel's possession all until now. My calculations is right. It's been gone for around 100 years. David was not even born when Israel lost the ark. But what's the big deal about the ark? Why? What's the big deal? David killed the giant without the ark. David did great things and all kinds of great things took place without the ark. Sure they did. Now notice here, we think about this tabernacle. What's this tabernacle here? I want you to notice what's been going on in Israel here. What's been taking place in Israel? What's been taking place at the tabernacle? When I say the tabernacle, I got a little picture. I was hoping this thing right here would work, but they said lightning got it. But I want to show you this tabernacle. It had an outside fence. It had a 150 foot long by 75 foot. It was a rectangle. And in the middle of that, you had a 45 foot long. This is called the holy place and the most holy place. It's 45 foot long, 15 foot wide. The first part was 30 feet, and the second part was 15 square, 15 foot tall. And inside this, you had, on the outside, you had the gate that you come in. There's only one gate. And by the way, there's only one way to heaven. Only one way to God. And then you go through there, and you know, as they go through this place, they was going through, and all of this stuff, all of this furniture, you got the brazen altar, you've got the brazen laver. You go in, and on your right, you see the table of shewbread. On the left, you see the lampstand that I preached about, and the oil that was crushed for the light. And in the middle of that, you have the altar of incense, and then you have the 4-inch thick veil that covered the Holy of Holies. And behind that is supposed to be this Ark of the Covenant. As they walked inside this, tabernacle, still all of this time, for 100 years, they were still going in to the brazen altar, and they were still slaying animals, and they were still getting the blood and sprinkling on the four horns, representing the four corners of the earth, and they were still doing that, but there was nothing behind the veil. They was going through a ritual. They would go in, and after they would go through that brazen altar, they would come to the brazen laver, and they would wash the blood from their hands and their face and all over their body. They would clean themselves, but there was nothing behind the veil. This ark represents Christ Himself. Yeah, it had Aaron's rod, the pot of manna. Listen now, and this is Christ Himself, supposedly. And they'd go in, and they'd have the table of shewbread on the right, had 12 loaves on it, and all the dishes that were served with, and this bread here, they would go in and they would cut it, they would eat it, and it was a loaf for every tribe of them, but there was nothing behind the veil. And the lampstand was lit. They would burn incense on the altar of incense, but there was nothing behind the veil. And I have to think about, in our day and time, when how many is going to church? And they're going through the rituals. They're going through this and they're going through that, but there's nothing behind the veil. You know what? The ark departed. One of Eli's sons' wives gave birth, and they named that son Ichabod. Because of what? What does it say? Because the glory of the Lord hath departed. You know what? If we're not careful tonight, we'll get in a rut of coming to church. We'll get in a rut, and it'll be dead. And ain't nothing no more boring than a dead church service. I'm going to tell you, let me say that on record. There ain't nothing, and I mean nothing, no more boring than a man getting up and standing and ain't got a lick of God and talking and lecturing you. It sounds like a college class. It sounds like a high school class, and I don't like it. I can study my Bible at home, amen? Honey, when I come to church, I don't mean to be mean, but I'm telling you like it is.
When I come to church, I want to meet with God and I want to hear from God. I want God Himself. I want to go in behind the veil because God has given me access behind the veil.
It's good, it's great to get in here and talk about the Bible and how good it is and this. It's great. But honey, I want to hear from the man himself. Am I right about it? You want to know why in here? You want to know why? And I've watched that. In here, I've watched other places. I've preached in several places. And these folks are going to sweep. Honey, you think somebody is big and as magnificent and powerful as God, if He's really in the building, you think somebody's going to fall asleep? You've lost your mind. What an insult. God comes in, you're going to be at attention. How you know? I done been there in front of Him.
So we see here in our text that David, back a couple of more chapters, back in chapter number 4, he's got Israel. He's the king of Israel. Prior to that, in chapter number 2, he's the king of Judah. Now he's got all the kingdom, and there's one single thing that he lacks.
It's been gone 100 years, and that's the ark. It'll complete Israel.
David said, I can be king, but it's useless. He said, I can be king of Israel, I can be king of Judah, but without the ark, we're going to fail. You can have the prettiest building. You can have the prettiest outline. You can have the prettiest singing voice and the prettiest words to a song. But without the anointing and the power of a thrice holy God, it's as useless as aching, breaking heart. I say amen.
You can go get you a Catholic. You can get you a Church of Christ pamphlet. You can get you all kind of things and you can read all you want to. And it'll tell you some scriptures here and some scriptures there. And that's good. We need to read our Bibles. But honey, every once in a while we need to get in behind the veil. You hear me?
I said we need to get in behind the veil to where the Shekinah glory is. And we need to be in awe of a God in heaven that created us. And we need to bless His name and fall prostrate before Him.
That's where we need. Notice with me. Notice with me there in chapter 6 of our text. Notice David's got a drive, hasn't he?
Yeah. I've heard so many times preachers crucify David for going about it the wrong way, bless God. You can't put him on a new cart. Well, bless God, I'm glad somebody had the initiative after 100 years to at least go down there and go after the ark. At least he wasn't so lazy that he sat down. He got up and he went after the ark of God. Amen. And at least he tried to.
He messed up. Sure he did. But he sat down 3 months and I believe he had sleepless nights. And I believe he thought about this and said, listen, it seemed like I remember hearing a story about them Levites that's supposed to tote this ark. And he thought about it. He said, we're going again, boys. Ain't you glad failure ain't final? Ain't you glad God's got a plan? And you know what's got to be adjusted? It ain't God. God don't adjust to us, but we adjust to God. God's got a plan and a will for your life. And if you'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He'll show you that will and He'll bless you and He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it if you will just search out His will. David, I love that David had a drive about him. Thank God for some. I used to have 11 young preachers under me. And sometimes they absolutely would get up and say, and I've been in the same place, they would stand up at the wrong time, Brother David. They would say some of the stupidest things.
But bless God, I'm glad they stood up and they had a fire going down on the inside of them and they was excited about what God was doing.
Let me ask you something. Which one do you think God's more pleased with? One of His young'uns in a pious way that says, Father, I bless Your name today. Or you think He's more satisfied with somebody that's been an old sinner that He reached down in Psalms 40 and pulled him out of the pit, cleaned him up. And that old fellow don't know what John is from James. But he gets up and says, Lord, I don't know how to say it, but I love You. I'm going to tell you which one. You can listen, you can study, and it's very well. You can sing, and you ought to. It's wonderful. But Brother David, if we sing, we need the anointing on us. We sing into the King. We need to have a drive about us. I mean, we need to have some get up and go. We need to have every once in a while a good swoof kick in the rear. Yeah, man? David had drive. But after that, we read there, he failed, didn't he? Uzzah. The Bible says he was afraid of the Lord that day. But I noticed then that David said, listen, how can I get this ark home to me? And for 3 solid months, I believe he tossed and turned on his Serta mattress. I believe his MyPillow went bad. Amen? I believe that he could not sleep because he wanted that ark so bad. He knew that it was the key. And I'm here tonight to tell you what's missing in your life is the ark of God is not in His place. David had a desire, didn't he? Deep desire. Boy, he had to have it. He had to have it. It was a life or death matter for him. Listen to me. Have you ever been so hungry? I'm talking to some of y'all old Liberty folks. I'm talking to some of y'all that have sit in the manifest glory of God. Have you ever been so hungry for God to pour the oil on the man of God's beard or the singer's head and let it run down on their beard and you just get a drop or two from it? Oh, boy. Hungry. Hungry. I pray for Brother Ken. Boy, I pray for him. I pray God get on him where he don't know what he'd do. I pray that God would get on him. And I reflect back. I say, Lord, I mean, really get on him. I mean, pour it on him. And he's going to do it one of these days. He's going to do it. But you know what? Keep your desire. Watch me now. David had a dilemma there. David had a dilemma. Couldn't figure out how to get it. He found out that them Levites is the one that had to tote that ark. They had to carry the ark. And he realized this is not just any old ark. It's not just any old box. This is the Lord Himself. And we're going to carry on and we're going to worship Him. You know what would do us good? And this is the nucleus of the church here, I believe. A some that would love to be here tonight but can't. But you know, what if you carried on about the ark? It ain't about the person beside you. If you're saved tonight, you've seen the ark. These people that lived and died and didn't see this ark. But you know what? The manifest glory of God's been in this place right here, and you've seen it. And when it comes in, you ought to let folks know. You ought to raise your hands. The Bible says to lift up holy hands. Ain't nothing wrong with shouting. Say amen. You know what? We're going to need him. I could go into several things that only was parallel with the ark's present. We got to have this ark in our lives before we can do certain things. David had a dilemma there. And then we see in verse 14, David dancing. David, verse 15, was delighted. Verse 16, David's despised. Verse 17, no, David delivers. I wonder tonight if God would grace us and let us experience His glory one more time. I'll be honest with you. And I think I can get a lot of amens. You may amen down in your heart. But I want to hear from God. I love you to death and I know you love me to death. But you don't care about my opinion. And I really don't care about yours. And I can outline, I can make it rhyme. I can make it sound good. I can put four words together. You know what? But what we need is a touch from God. We need Him to come in. We need Him to come in and manifest Himself. I need it. You need it. Your kids need it. You know your kids, some of y'all got kids that are young, they've never experienced the glory of God flowing through this place here. What if they never get to? You go all the way back to 1 Samuel 3. Samuel was just born in chapter number 1. And Hannah gave him to the Lord. 100 years later, Samuel's done dead and gone. Samuel died back in chapter 28. And we see here that there's lots of people that's done come and go and never seen the glory of God. Never saw that ark. And there's some people today, I'm afraid, that's never been able to see and feel the presence of God. We got to the place nowadays to where we come because, listen to me now, let's just be honest with God tonight. I ain't getting on to you. I'm getting on to me. I ain't in the place. I ain't your pastor. I ain't getting on to you. But you know what? We've gotten to the place today, what we do, we have come to church and we dread it when we come. Amen. Everyone, listen, there's a lot of times. Now, they are sometimes we look forward to coming. We're coming in these doors here, all three sets of doors, wherever we come in at. And a lot of the time we're thinking about what we're going to do when we leave here. Where we're going to eat at. Is Billy and Susie coming over after out to the house after lunch? What are we going to Carrollton? Are we going to Oxford? What are we going to do? Am I right about it? And let me tell you something I've learned the hard way. You forsake and you take for granted God, and it's going to cost you. And I've realized this, that some of the things that you run a bill up with on God, the bill won't come due immediately. But one day when you think everything's going smooth as silk, the bill will come due. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to warn you. We need the Lord. You need the Lord. We need His manifest. We need His manifest presence. We need the power of God. This place. I think about old David. David, he handled the ark hastily. He was fast with it the first time. Uzzah handled it carelessly. God killed him. There's a story behind every one of those. David handled him hastily. He was quick and he thought, well, I'll just bring it on, go get it and bring it on home. I'll go down to church and I'll listen and see what the preacher's got to preach and I'll go on home. We'll go to Carrollton. We'll go taco place. Get us a taco. We'll go do this. We're hasty. If Brother Ken ain't done by 12 o'clock, if he goes to 12:15, if he goes to 12:30, Lord Jesus, the world's coming to an end. I'm telling you the truth about it. You know what? We're handling hastily, and we're going to mess up and leave somebody that we care about to their death. Uzzah handled him carelessly, and it cost him his life. Uzzah was unlearned. Uzzah didn't know. And he put his hand to it, and God literally sliced him in half. Probably fell out in a wheel, rolled over him, and cut him in half. God smote him. But we see that Obed-Edom handled him carefully. I love that it's 3 months there. Obed-Edom, that thing come in his house, and I believe he put it right in the very front there. And it was special. I believe he told the kids about it. I believe he told them about how this was a special part of Israel. We've gotten to a place to where our kids don't know what's special anymore. I wonder tonight if we really think about ourselves and our lives, and this church, this special, sweet church, and the people in it. I wonder, why is it, and I'm going to be just blunt, why is it that you've quit? Why is it that you don't pray like you used to? Ask yourself, why is it that you don't crave Him? Why is it that you don't desire Him like David desired Him for 3 months there? He had to find out, how do I get this ark? Why is it do we not crave that? Why is it that we don't make a big fuss about it? You know, if we caught just a little glimpse of Him this Sunday, if we caught just a little glimpse of Him and made a little fuss over it, I wonder what would happen. I wonder if we just made a little bit of fuss over when somebody got up and sung. And you know what? When somebody sings, they're singing unto the Lord. They're praising the Lord. They're worshiping the Lord. And I promise you, the Lord's looking down on that, and He's smiling on it. And every once in a while, you'll see Him looking down on it. And when you see Him looking down on it, you ought to praise Him. You ought to join in and worship Him. And He might come on down here and get in the midst of us. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I'll be in the midst. Mary and Martha was there. Mary and Martha was there with the Lord. And they had Him in their house. And Mary was sitting with Jesus there. She was at His feet. Martha was up and she was seeing about this and seeing about that, and cooking maybe and cleaning. I don't know what she was doing. She was coming about much serving. You know what? The Lord said, He said, this one thing is needful. One thing. You ever felt like you're doing something and wouldn't get nowhere? Wasn't accomplishing anything in the world? That's the way church is without the ark. Got to have the ark. I challenge you to think about that. And maybe ask yourself a question. I don't feel like we have an altar call unless Daddy, that's His call. But God spoke to somebody's heart, and I understand it's blew right over some's head. But God, he ain't intending to speak to everybody, no way. He's intending to speak to you that heard it. I beg you to look to God for your desire. What happened to that desire you had back in the 90s, in the early 2000s? What happened to that? What happened to that? Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing us to be here tonight. I know, Lord, that this is what you've laid on our heart. And I pray, God, Lord, that it's settled. I know it will, God. Your word does not return void. I pray, God, that you'd settle it in on all of us, Lord God, that heard it. Lord, we need you. We need your presence, or we're going to wither away. Please, Lord, give us another chance. Manifest yourself. And let us praise you. And let us worship you. Let us give you glory like you so much deserve. And I thank you for these, your people, Lord. I ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.